Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. Then I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM, The Fan, and the party people on the YouTube stream, youtube.com/1080AM, The Fan. Let's ride. Portland Trail Blazers picked up a win in a loss last night, falling to the Utah Jazz 133-126 in overtime, a game where Shaedon Sharpe had 37 points in 35 minutes.
Had a chance for a 40-piece.
Yeah, and didn't play in overtime. Taking the overtime minutes, you had Matisse Thybulle, Delano Banton, Ryan Rupaire, playing the entirety of the overtime period, with Donovan Klingon and Chris Murray splitting a little bit of time there in that final OT, and they got outscored by 7, and the Blazers pick up a win in a loss when it comes to draft lottery odds.
Yeah, I mean, the game kind of was what it was there until it wasn't. It's nice to see Shaedon have a game like that. It's nice to see Roops have a game like that. But boy, were the final 2 minutes of regulation something. They were something. I mean, it was complete and utter pandemonium. Filipowski gets away with the most egregious double dribble I've seen in a long time.
Evan Turner on the broadcast was electric. I know some people didn't like it. I thought it was great. Like, what are we
you
doing
are
if you're
that
complaining?
Locked into that game?
It's
and if you are
game
no,
79,
down.
They're playing game the 80. Worst team or worst. Yeah, game 80. Jeez, yeah. Game 80. They're playing the worst team in the West.
They're eliminated from playoff contention.
It's a fill-in color analyst who was a former player who is a colorful personality.
Yeah.
He's going to tell stories in that third quarter. But when Filipowski did the double dribble, quote of the night from ET, he goes, oh, he did that Angel Reese on the double dribble. And immediately I went, that's actually true. Mm-hmm. She does a two-hand power dribble. Mm-hmm. She does that.
Yeah.
And he goes, she does that Angel Reese. I went, ah.
He's not wrong.
Got her.
Not wrong. So because of some things that have happened with Phoenix being a complete dumpster fire, the Blazers needed to lose that game because they have the positive tiebreaker. I should say the negative tiebreaker with the Suns. The Suns hold the season series, so the tiebreaker, if you know, things come to fruition in that sense, they can, if it gets that to point. But in the lottery, what ends up happening is if you're tied, you split the odds and then you flip a coin for the last set of odds if right. you don't move up.
Yes.
Because the lottery is only for the top four picks and then everybody else slots in accordingly. So if neither of those two teams moved up, let's say the Blazers won the coin toss, then the Blazers would be 9 and then the Suns would be 10.
Yep.
If neither team moved up. So it does give you that little additional cushion.
Which is nice.
And the Suns, so here's what's crazy. With Kevin Durant not playing, he can now no longer make All-NBA.
Oh, hey, all right.
Which is, I mean, it's not going to impact him because he's not up for a contract.
He didn't have 65.
So he's not going to be eligible for that list. But you also had the Spurs throw a grenade in last night as Harrison Barnes hits a game winner against the Warriors and possibly knock the Warriors in the play-in. But now it does open up a backdoor chance for the Blazers and Spurs to end up being tied. And now
I like
and cue the world of people like they should have lost the Spurs. Look, I get it. I'm with you. But it's done. And you look at what the Spurs did not only last night, but against the Blazers. They played their guys.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to the Blazers front office and I've talked to other people around the league because I had this reeling suspicion that maybe the Blazers and Spurs got a note from the NBA of, hey, you guys have been two of the most egregious examples of this stuff over the last couple of years. Knock it off. Because they're playing their dudes down the stretch. Now, they're active dudes, which the Blazers have since. You're not going to see Denny Avdia. You're not going to see Anthony Simons. You're not going to see Jeremy Grant. You're not going to see DeAndre Ayton. You're not going to see those guys the rest of the season.
And that's an important note when people say, okay, this is what they should be doing the entire game. You have to have nine guys active.
Yes.
And if you have a player active, he's got to play. So Tumani Kamara and Shaedon Sharpe have got to play.
Yeah.
Now,
and WAP,
just to get them tonight,
last night was made active as an emergency active because he knocked knees the other night. And it's a real, like, they don't want to not play WAP.
Yeah. Like, he should be playing, especially when Donovan Klingon is playing in overtime and you don't want him to be playing in overtime. You're going, all right, Chris Murray for the final minute 45?
Yeah. You know, so WAP is just kind of there in a, he's active, but, the knee's a little knocked up.
Yeah, but Tumani Kamara, he missed a layup where it was a great play design.
What an unbelievable pass by Tease.
And a great – Tease had a couple. The dunk was – I didn't think that was part of Matisse Thybulle's game.
Tease's athleticism is otherworldly,
but
man.
That dunk was different. That was like – I thought it was Shaedon Sharpe at the beginning. I was like, whoa.
Because he took off outside the dotted, and it was like, yo!
And I went, whoa, no, that's Matisse Thybulle. Mm-hmm. Like, it was incredible.
Whole bench went nuts.
That pass was perfect
to
Kamara, who got position. He's under the hoop.
Got it in his left hand, too.
On the rim, and it just goes, whoop, bonk, misses. And it was the smile on his face. It was almost as if, like, everybody on the bench was like, good miss.
Good miss, good miss.
good miss right there, pal.
So, I need to blame my my TV producer, Danny, the other Danny. With, I want to say, 50 seconds to go in regulation, he goes, he did it, Dusty. What do you not say?
During a game?
In a close game. Where is this game going?
Overtime, yeah.
He said it out loud.
Don't speak it into existence.
Joe and I just looked at him like, what are you doing?
Yep, did it. Did it.
And it was like, you monster. But it afforded the Blazers the opportunity to kind of lock in at bare minimum where they'll be. Because now, that game against the Warriors, it matters for the Warriors.
Matters a ton for the Warriors. Also, the
Lakers, if they win, if they play
tomorrow.
They've
got tiebreakers.
Yeah.
They got tiebreakers on everybody else, and they have a game advantage.
They literally have tiebreakers on every other team.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They're 34 or 35 and 18 against the Western Conference.
That's pretty good.
Like, all their losses, like, their bad losses are against the East.
Hmm.
It's super weird. But they have tiebreakers, and they can Houston is locked up basically the 2 seed now. The Lakers with another win, I believe, can lock in the 3 with maybe a minor quibble. But if they win 2, it's definitely done.
Yeah.
So but the very likely occurrence is 3. And at Hoop Summit, the great part about it is you've got all the executives from all of the teams. And I was talking to executives from Houston, from LA, from Golden State, and it was very interesting talking to executives from Houston. They're like, well, we have to decide over the next couple of days what we want to do.
And that's who the Lakers have Friday night.
Do we rest guys? Do we want to make sure we're playing our best? Do we want to maybe knock somebody else down by giving one team a loss or another team a win? Or, you know what I mean? Like, things you can't totally decide, but you can.
Especially with the play-in. The play-in has massaged that a lot because as the 2 seed, we always used to see, and it was not just the last 2 games, it would be like the last 5 games of the season. They'd be like, all right, if we lose to them, beat them, we will get the favorable matchup.
But with two games remaining basically for everybody, things are still very undecided. The Warriors and Grizzlies can both end up in the play-in.
That's bonkers.
And if you can knock them down, though, if you're the Houston Rockets and you're on the opposite side of the bracket from the Thunder, and you can basically force it to where the Warriors have to play the Thunder and maybe upset them, I don't think it's likely. But if it's between Memphis or Minnesota or Golden State, who would you rather see play OKC? You know what I mean? If you can dictate that and you can try to help massage that and make it more difficult, and now all of a sudden, if you win a round, maybe you get a dark horse run to the Western Conference Finals and Oklahoma City's not there.
And by the way, it also could be the Nuggets. Nuggets got a win last night against the Sacramento Kings. David Adelman in his first game as the head coach of the Nuggets gets a win. But they have Memphis coming up tomorrow.
Everyone is playing each other. That's what makes this so great.
It's going to be a wild finish in the West. And the Blazers, they helped themselves out with the loss. And I was totally okay with it.
Oh, totally fine.
And we will see what happens in the final two games. So we're hoping that the Rockets beat the Lakers. So there's something to play for LA in that final game.
Yeah, because, I mean, you want to look, we didn't get to see Luka last time.
Oh, yeah, no.
Look, I don't want to see him as a Laker, but I want to see him play.
I don't want to see him. I said this yesterday, Luka going for 50, then beating the Mavs would be great.
Mm-hmm.
He let me down. He only got 45.
Coward.
But that's all I'm rooting for the Lakers.
I'm not rooting the Lakers. I'm done. I just want to watch Luka.
I'm done. I don't want any. I want no positivity for them. None. Except for beating the Blazers in the final game of the regular season. All right. 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. You've been hoop summiting.
I have.
The Nike Hoop Summit is coming up. It will be on Saturday in Moda Center. And we will have Noah Eagle, Ian Eagle's son, on tomorrow at 1:30 to discuss the Nike Hoop Summit, where he will be calling the game for NBC. But I want to get your thoughts on what you've seen from the Hoop Summit. We got a brief overview from you yesterday, because some of the best players in the world, the future stars of tomorrow, Cooper Flagg was here last year.
Yeah, as was Ace Bailey, as was Dylan Harper.
So we will get the rundown from you of who's here, what to expect in the Nike Hoop Summit, and where some of these guys may be going. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Nike Hoop Summit is coming up on Saturday here in Portland. One of the great sleeping gems of sports in the state of Oregon, because of the fact that the best high school and international basketball players in the world ascend on Portland, Oregon for 1 week. And it's a chance to see Team USA take on the world team.
And just as a matter of perspective from year to year,
or I guess USA basketball, because it's not Team USA. They get very hung up on that.
So the projected top five picks in this draft: Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, Trey Johnson, and VJ Edgecombe, depending on how you look at it. And if Kaspars Jakaciunas is there, Jeremiah Fears is the one guy in that group that was not at Hoop Summit last year.
Pretty good.
It's a pretty good indicator. I mean, even if you go down the list.
Well, I mean, guys like Nikola Jokic,
Tomon Mollewacz,
Dirk Nowitzki, didn't he play in the Hoop Summit in its early iterations?
Batum and Nowitzki were some of the earlier international guys. What was funny was Jokic came out there, and look, this is coming from a fellow fat guy. Jokic was chubby as hell, and he gave Karl-Anthony Towns work. Now, a clip that went viral from Hoop Summit practice years ago, during that, Cat got Jokic on a dunk, and everyone's like, yeah, Cat, because he's, you know, number one prospect, going to Kentucky, all those things. Jokic mauled him. Mauled him. And the stuff he was, like, who is this chubby kid out here that is just working everyone? Michael Porter Jr., when he came through, my God, did he not miss during the week? I mean, it's the Hoop Summit is loaded.
Look, I'm just going to read off some of the alumni: Kevin Garnett, Stephon Marbury, Jermaine O'Neal, Mike Bibby, Larry Hughes, Dirk Nowitzki, Al Harrington, Rashard Lewis, Baron Davis, Elton Brand, Ron Artest, Darius Miles, Quentin Richardson, Shane Battier, Joe Johnson, Zach Randolph, Tony Parker. Ruben Boumche, Mike Dunleavy Jr., more recent guys. Oh, Sebastian Telfair played in that game. Yep. I did not know that. A lot of former Blazers on the list. Martell Webster's on the list. Andrea Bargnani, former number one overall pick. Sergio Rodriguez, Kevin Durant was in it. Derek Rose, Kevin Love, OJ Mayo, Nick Batum, DeMar DeRozan, Drew Holiday, Patty Mills, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins. Golly, it's a crazy list. Kyrie.
It's not even just like good players. It's all stars and Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And the interesting
Anthony
thing
Davis,
is
Bradley Beal.
The world team players over the last 15 years. Like, that's when it starts. You're like, you start seeing the world team guys. Like, you had the early guys where you did have a Dirk here, there, you had a Nick there, a Sergio there. It's like, but over the last 15 years, it's gotten big.
Yes.
And like, you can see the international impact on the game.
Ben Simmons, Jamal Murray, two guys that I remember.
RJ Barrett was supposed to be like the guy.
Yeah.
He was ahead of Zion in that class.
Lauri Markkanen.
They do a pretty good job of spotting these guys. If you if you're on that team, you're on the right path.
Yeah.
And if you're on the USA team, you're definitely on the right path. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a couple guys in there every year. I remember Precious Achiuwa was on that team. What's crazy is Precious, when he came through, he thought of himself as like 6'8 Kobe Bryant.
Oh.
He thought he was a wing.
Kobe.
For those of you not familiar, Precious Achiuwa is a big in the NBA now. Not a wing, not a ball handler. He's a like a rim finisher, athlete kind of guy.
Who do we look at in this year's game of the guys that are going to be the ones that pop next year? Because there are some star-studded guys.
Unfortunately for Team USA, Koa Pete, I believe, is an injury. He has been replaced, so he will not be participating. But on the world team roster last year, but playing for the U.S. now, we talked about A.J. DeBonsa.
BYU commit.
He's the number one prospect in the class. And I like the way that I talk about Cooper Flagg and like how egregiously good he is and how much I believe in him. I'm not there with AJ yet because of the soft skills stuff. Like what Cooper has in that regard is just so different from anybody I've seen in over a decade. AJ DeBonsa's physical profile, skills, talent, all that kind of stuff is Tracy McGrady.
Oh, that's a pretty good comp.
Yes. And again, I don't like putting those kind of comps on kids, but that's the kind of talent that he has.
His injuries aren't.
Yeah, no. But like he's 6'8 plus, and he can just do stuff at that size that nobody else can do.
Hot damn.
Cam Boozer, who is some people have as the number one recruit in the class, going to Duke, has his twin brother Caden, who's also going to Duke.
I wonder why they're going there.
Yeah.
Their father's Carlos.
Yes. So the thing about Cam is, as much as AJ jumps off, like if you watch tape and you watch AJ play, you're like, yeah, that dude. Like the juice is just there. Cam Boozer's boring. He's so good that it's boring.
I like those players.
And there's something about that. Like Jokic is quote unquote boring, and it's not, you know, this unbelievable pull up mid range game, or like it's just so rudimentary and specific and focused in everything that he does. If he goes number one in the draft next year, it would not surprise me. There's a guy not here who I think is going to be the guy that surprises in this class. Not surprises. He's like number three in the class. And that's Darren Peterson. He's not here because he's an Adidas guy. Now, there's been some Adidas guys that have come through in the past, but he's a like dyed in the wool Adidas guy. And with NIL the way that it is now, it's a little shaky. Because remember, Cooper Flagg signed his New Balance deal after Hoop Summit. It was in that summer going into Duke. And everybody told me Nike had it done. And whoops.
They did not.
Yeah, they let go of the great white hype. Not great. But there are dudes on that U.S. team. The interesting thing is for the international cycle, it's down a bit this year. There's a couple guys there I talked about yesterday. Omer Meyer, Israeli kid, plays for Maccabi Tel Aviv. He's been a pro already. He's 2 months older than Cooper Flagg. So remember, Cooper's supposed to be a senior in high school.
Okay.
Right now, wrapping up.
And so he has to play another year at Maccabi, and then he can come over.
Well, he might come over to Purdue.
Oh.
Because you can do that now.
You can?
Oh, yeah. That's Yegor Demin for BYU, played professionally in Russia.
Wow.
Yeah, you can. So Purdue is trying to get Omer over there. And watching him play, he looks like a strong safety.
I like that.
You don't see kids built like him. Like, a lot of guys in the NBA, when they stand out as guards or wings, when their physical profile, it's because they're long-armed or they're incredibly athletic.
Yep.
He's built like a truck. It's like, who gave this guy the super soldier serum? Like, he's a grown man. And watching him play, because he's played grown man basketball, every time he drives, he puts a shoulder in somebody's chest. You hear a oof as somebody's wind is getting knocked at him. He plays with honestly, like, not the same as Denny, but Denny also played for Tel Aviv. Like, that's where he came from. And these guys, these particularly on the Israeli side, they get identified at like 14. If you've got the goods, and they get you into that pro system very quickly. And you can see his IQ, his feel, all those kind of things. Again, last year, that guy for me was Kasparis Yakashionis, who went to Illinois, and he's going to be a top 10 pick. IQ, feel, passing, creativity. Mayer had a play. They're scrimmaging back and forth, and it was, I want to say it was like 16 seconds on the clock, tie game. And he catches the ball just short of half court. Defender tries to jump, hits an in and out dribble, blows by him, looks, uses his eyes, picks up a live dribble one handed, looks to the strong side corner, whole defense slides over, rips a right handed hook pass through the defense into the opposite side corner, right into the shooting pocket for a three to win. And it was just like the whole gym. I looked around, everybody had the same look on their face, like, I'm not seeing many kids making that pass.
Like it.
You got Tunde Yusufu, who's going to Baylor, and another physical freak. Look, Scott Drew loves physical freaks. I mean, VJ Edgecombe, physical freak. Tunde looks like Ant Edwards. If you squint, if you just see him from behind, same haircut, same number five, same build. He's 6'5", 220 as an 18-year-old. He's jacked. Freak athlete, and he can shoot the ball.
All right.
And so it's like, oh, there's some juice there.
Tunde, one of my favorite Peloton instructors, too.
Who doesn't love some Tunde?
I love Tunde. She's great.
But I say all this about the world team, they're going to lose by 30.
Okay.
Like, they don't have the size. They don't have, like, last year they had AJ DeBonsa, which, and VJ, which definitely, and Kasparis, like, their profile was, they had three top 10 players on their team. Like, that helps. This year, the U.S. has probably, what, I would estimate 5 or 6 of the top 10 picks.
All right.
In next year's draft.
America.
Yeah. No, look, it's helpful, but it's just really a down cycle for the international team. But definitely, if you want to go catch some fun, high-level young hoops, go check out the Hoop Summit game on Saturday. It is a good game to go watch.
Saturday at Moda, worth it. It's a hidden gem. You want to take your kid to an affordable game where they're going to see legitimate superstars in the NBA moving forward. It's a good way to do it. Good way to do it.
And you can, it's for me as a basketball sicko, it's one of those very cool things to be like, I watched that guy when he was in high school.
Yeah.
Like, and you, and then in 7, 8, 9 years when they're in their prime and they're all stars or all NBA or winning titles or whatever it is, you have that frame of reference of like, I remember when he was that good then, and he is 10 times the player now. And you, when you get to see that evolution, that growth over basically a decade, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
And for a lot of them, it's this for the world team, first time coming over to the States and playing basketball. And they use it as like a jumping off point to go and take their recruiting visits to various places. I remember when Jamal Murray came here, it was down to Kentucky and Oregon for him. He went down and visited Oregon right after the game. For a lot of guys, they just take planes and they're going all over the country to go visit
to your point,
colleges.
Unfortunately, Dyson Daniels' younger brother, Dash Daniels, was on the world team. He rolled his ankle and had a little bit of a calf. They picked up a knock in the morning practice, and then at the afternoon practice, he was going through warm-ups, reached down and grabbed his calf, and that was the last we saw of him. He's been replaced. But Dash is a guy that, I was talking to one of the executives, like, yeah, everybody, a lot of people wanted to see Dash. And he goes, yeah, now we all have to take a 20-hour flight to Australia to go watch him. So everybody's kind of like, because that's the thing, is like, there's a kid over here from China this year, Bojan, which he can shoot the ball, but his first couple practices, man, not good. But then you have to remember, he probably flew like 22 hours, and it took him a little while to adjust. It's probably his first time in the U.S. So you just get to kind of see all these like reference points, and it's very cool.
All right, Hoop Summit Saturday, we'll talk to Noah Eagle of NBC. He's going to be calling the game along with Robbie Hummel on NBC on Saturday, right here at Moda Center in Portland.
I come in next time for our worst day on the web, and we're leaving the state of Florida, but this definitely sounds like something Florida would do. Substituting food, not okay. We'll get to that next. But first, it's the Big Kahuna with a Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Well, there's palate cleansers, and then there's this. You tipped me off to this one, Dusty.
Yeah.
a restaurant in Madrid, Spain.
Oh boy.
Had roasted duck on their menu.
Little gamey.
Except for the duck was not duck. The restaurant was raided by police because they were found to be serving street pigeons.
Oh, that's even more gamey. No.
The dirty rat of the sky.
No. That is every worst fear when you go to a restaurant, right?
I mean, God, what's worse than that?
I don't know.
Jack in the Box had the scandal in the 80s with the kangaroo meat.
Yeah.
But then, you can, like, kangaroo meat's just, like, not good. It's not, you don't think of kangaroo as, it's cute, it's cuddly, vicious, but not flying rat of the sky.
Is it not good?
It's,
I don't know. I've never had.
I've had it once. It's
never went to Jack in the Box in the 80s either. So
my parents were like, we will never go there when that scandal broke.
Oh, yeah. So you guys go to like Hotten Now where they had an E. coli breakout?
No, never did the Hotten Now.
That
was a big thing. Woof. Yeah, the fast food in the late 80s, early 90s went through a process. That's for sure.
39-cent burgers.
Yeah.
The old Hotten Now.
No, we stuck to the rivers and lakes they were used to.
Followed by a $5.99 bottle of Pepto.
Yeah, we stuck to the In-N-Out pretty strictly. And then if we were ever feeling a little frisky, go a little El Pollo Loco.
Okay.
A little crazy chicken.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah. Yeah, that'd be like going to El Pollo Loco and instead of getting chicken, you got pigeon.
It's not a good look for this restaurant.
No.
But it's also like, you know, for the longest time, you know, Chinese restaurants got the bad rap of, hey, might get dog meat, because there was that whole scandal in the 80s as well. And that's just unfair. But then you have these stories pop up every now and then. This one is in Madrid, Spain, serving you pigeon meat. And I'm sorry, but there is no way duck and pigeon taste alike.
No, God, no.
Right?
No, look, duck is gamey, but I like duck. Like a duck jalapeno poppers? Mm.
This was probably pretty quick to snuff out that this isn't duck. And if it is duck, you guys did something wrong to this duck.
This ain't farm duck.
To go pigeon, bold move, Cotton. Bold
move. Like, how are you finding pigeons big enough to pass off as roasted duck? Because, like, roasted duck's a big old...
I don't know what Madrid has going on. New York City, they got some jacked up pigeons, man. Those pigeons are eating well in New York City. It was wild to see how big some of those pigeons were. So I will say it's doable. Still not passing off as duck, but my goodness.
So the restaurant, Jingu, had a 4.2 star rating on Google prior to this. 4.2. So like, it's slightly above average.
Out of 5.
Yeah, out of 5, not out of 10.
I mean, that's a rating, though, where if you're out of town, you're like, hey, let's go get some. Don't know if I'm going from out of town, going to Madrid and being like, you know what I want?
Chinese
food.
Especially in Spain.
But if you're looking around, you're like, hey, let's go try somewhere new. 4.2 is going to get you in the door.
I have kind of a strict rule. I'm a 4.5 or above guy.
Okay.
Like, unless it's like a very, like, some people will, like, if it's like a traditional culinary place, like if it's traditional Vietnamese or Thai, where like pig blood soup is on the menu, like the very, yeah, like people like, oh, they'll give it like low rate, like those all go, I think this is probably a situation where people's taste buds aren't adjusted to like what true like natural cuisine is.
See,
in a particular region,
there are quite a few places here, and I'm not gonna smash local businesses. Mm-hmm. they're trying their hardest. But there's a lot of fart-sniffing places around here where they've got good ratings, but their food is not very good.
No, there's the Han Oaks of the world here in Portland, where the food matches the hype. It's one of the best restaurants in the city, hands down. And then there are places that try to do the hoity-toity. No, we're doing a tasting menu, and it's $200, and it's nowhere even close.
No, and I'll go for it, not even $200 fare. Like, just a nice, okay restaurant, mm-hmm, moderately priced. People are like, this place is amazing. You go there and you're like, that really wasn't amazing.
It's like you go to an Italian restaurant, it's like, I couldn't tell the difference between this and Olive Garden.
If that happens, you got some real issues.
I've had that happen a couple times, and I'm like, this isn't that good.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I don't, and that's what I just don't get. I also will look at the amount of ratings, if it's a 4.2 and they've got a ton of ratings, though,
it's pretty
there's pretty
spot on.
There's people that they just don't, they're going to be haters just to hate, right? Maybe they ordered something that would be good, but that's not what they were expecting, or, so they rate you down. That's stupid.
Or you have an off day. Look, it happens. One of the reviews here all from the restaurant, the duck, I think, is a little dry and lots of bones. Not that tasty.
Pigeon. That's why.
Yeah, because when you have roasted duck, man, it's not loaded with bones.
Well, I'll tell you. They're cooking the hell out of that pigeon then. Well, I mean, if that person's like, hey, it was a little bit dry and it had a lot of bones, that's their complaint.
Well,
it's like, well, that's some good chefing up the old pigeon.
When they raided the place, they found endless health code violations. They found other illegal food. They had sea cucumber, which is a strict no-no due to the marine habitat stuff around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like the off menu? They got a secret menu secret you menu? Can get the sea cucumber on?
Yeah, it's, I mean...
Do you put that in some vinegar and get some sea pickles?
Don't know. I had like 37 things go through my head of what I can't say on the radio. So I'm just going to show with I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, check the box of not eating Chinese food in Madrid. And I was stunned. I saw when I initially saw this, it was from a New York news station. And I skipped by the Madrid part of all of this and was just reading where at the top on the byline it said, you know, Madrid, Spain. Skipped that. Didn't register with me. I totally thought that this was New York. I could see it happening in New York.
Big old pigeon.
Florida, though. This is a straight out of Florida where... I said I'd revisit this when we were talking about the minor league baseball thing. In Florida, there was an all-out brawl at a Chuck E. Cheese. And when I say all-out brawl...
Waffle House?
Dude!
It was insane.
Dozens of people.
The crazy part about this is that the video that is circulating on the internet is about 30 seconds long. The reports are that this brawl went on for over 10 minutes before police arrived at a Chuck E. Cheese. That is bonkers. Also, why I'm not going to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. I mean,
this is a Florida story. I can see it
also
happening up here.
The disease pool known as the ball pit.
I think they got rid of the ball pits.
Did they?
I think they did. I think they did. We were a one and done at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Apparently a recent change they have made is that all games now, there are only one token.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool.
But tokens are probably more expensive now.
This is why I love...
I think they're like $5 a piece.
This is why I love the Fantex line. You guys got me into a Google vortex of how big pigeons and ducks can get. There was a prehistoric duck that was 1,000 pounds.
Dude. Speaking of, Dire Wolf is back.
Yes. Step one to Jurassic Park.
How do we feel about recreating extinct animals? Because those things are adorable.
They're doing it with a dodo and something else, too.
Mammoth.
Well, mammoth. That's what it mammoth, was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought dire wolves were like just Game of Thrones. I didn't realize they were real. They're enormous.
Oh, you didn't know that it's a real thing?
No.
Yeah.
I thought it was some mythical creature. I was just like... When I read that the other day, I was like, that thing is huge.
Yeah, my son and I did a deep dive on this because we were looking it up. He's like, well, how big is it compared to a dog? And I was like, all right, well, the top of its back, 3.5 feet tall to the, like, and that's like an average size one.
Yeah.
7 feet long. Like, these things were enormous.
This thing's half the size of a Prius.
I'm not so sure we want to bring them back.
Yeah, no, that changes the food chain. There was somebody out there was talking about trying to bring back the saber tooth, and I'm like, no, 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 no. We do not need the boop the snoot of the murder machine.
I'd be here for it. I mean, we got guns now.
Yeah,
tasers.
Still,
I mean,
you see Jurassic Park? They just keep coming.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think.
Can you imagine
Park,
an 8-foot cat with teeth that are a foot long?
Here's the thing. If we're going to start this recreating of extinct animals, we've got starting with the dire wolf, a murderous, gigantic dog animal. I don't know if that's the smartest move. Like, the dodo, probably.
Yeah, because
the
dodo went extinct because it was dumb, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, that was part of the problem. Like,
if we're going to start in the dinosaur world, let's start with a brontosaurus, a non-meat eater.
Let's start a little smaller.
Nope. Go big.
We do not need a something the size of the coin tower.
Triceratops?
Oh, God, no. That's a lot of horn.
Why can't we do, like, a little mini velociraptor?
No.
Just a little mini one.
We're not going Velociraptor.
It's like a little 6-inch tall one.
We're not going Tyrannosaurus Rex. We're not going with any of the murder machines.
Also, we can't go
with an herbivore.
Yes, herbivore, and we can't go like pterodactyl. Everybody like the whole idea of like what pterodactyl is. Like
that mofo flies away, we're dead.
Yeah, like do you not understand that thing has like a mouthful of razor sharp teeth and a 20-foot wingspan?
If you want to see a pterodactyl, go check out the mosquitoes in Minnesota.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Don't you know?
They'll carry you away.
Don't you know?
By the way, this discussion led me to Google the difference between the ducks and pigeons.
Yep.
Ducks have approximately 122 bones. Pigeons, meanwhile, do not have bones. Rather, they have a bone-like skeletal structure that redistributes force and weight throughout their bodies to prevent the crushing of organs.
So it's like rubbery.
Or like cartilage, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah.
That makes me sense. Not like pigeons even more. I'm not a pigeon guy.
No.
No.
I mean, I'll shoot clay pigeons.
Let's, what is the dinosaur we want to bring back?
Small herbivore. There's one that kind of looks like a hippo. I can never remember the name of it, but it's like a big...
Hippos are murder machines, though.
Yeah, I mean, they kill more... If I'm not mistaken, they kill more humans than anything on the planet.
Because
the whole adage was, like, they kill more than great whites kill every year. Something like 500 people a year.
More dino... Yeah, they do. They kill a lot of people. Yeah. Small herbivore dinosaurs. You want the Alberta Dromaeus.
Does it look kind of like a little hippo?
No, it looks like a little teeny tiny, it's a microraptor.
Nope.
But it's an herbivore. It's got flat teeth.
Life finds a way.
All right. Well then that one's out.
What was the one of the bad Jurassic Park ones that was in there? Was it Peter Stormare gets eaten alive by like 50 of the little ones?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
But they were fast.
Yeah, see, we can't...
The Alberta Dromaeus was a...
Yeah, we can't have any of those. We need something that's easily controlled, docile. You need, like the you know how they have the mini pony? We like the mini brontosaurus.
Oh, my God. Okay, so the small herbivore dinosaur?
Mm-hmm.
Take a guess how big it is.
2,000 pounds.
5 feet and 30 pounds. Okay. It was like a large turkey, size of a large turkey.
Okay.
That's the smallest we're going.
Yeah, there we go. That's good.
And fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I don't like anything that's like got crazy speed, crazy claws, can fly. You know what I mean? Like
Alberta Dromaeus racing.
Oh.
Now we're talking, okay. Huh? Yeah.
Put them on the track.
Yeah. Watch them run.
Okay.
We're here. Okay. Instead of the rabbit that they chase, like at dog tracks, they chase a head of lettuce. Dangling carrot.
Literal carrot.
Yeah. Yeah. Have them chase the carrot.
See, now we're talking.
All right.
Okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down. All right. Coming up next, a little deviation here is one of the longest losing streaks in sports has been stopped. Danny Dust, Danny the Fan. All right. As we wrap up hour number two here,
I have one thing on the dinosaur thing.
Oh, okay. What you got?
We said that we want, you know, small, slow, and dumb.
Mm.
What if we recreate the dinosaur and we're like, that's not what we were expecting at all? Like, they're like, oh, their brains were really small. What if they had just like these supercharged brains? We don't know.
Well, the other thing is, like, the idea of what we think dinosaurs look like is completely shifted in like the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Because have you seen those things that pop up where like if you took the skeleton of like a penguin and you treated it as dinosaur bones and you recreated it, it looks nothing like a penguin.
Or like a hippo skull. It looks like this just creature that would just murder everything, like, which it is, but it doesn't look like that.
But it looks completely different. Yeah. So the idea that we know what they actually look like, there's a lot of thought that they're a lot more bulbous and a lot more bird-like, like across the board.
I would, like, my whole thought, and I've thought of this for a long time, is What if they all just look like Dr. Seuss characters, right? Like
they're just neon colored weird stripes.
Yeah, and they're like all fluffy with these little poofs of hair, and we're like, that's not what we thought. Not at all.
And they're all murder machines.
Yeah.
Just pure unadulterated nightmare fuel.
Yeah. Like what if like what's the Onceler? What they all look like the cut out on the trees? What's that book called? Oh boy.
The Lorax.
Oh, what if they all look like the Lorax, but then just rip your face off? They're like little murdery Care Bears, and you're like, I didn't see that one coming.
I was going Rick and Morty with some of the things that come out of there. He created a make believe land for his daughter to play in when she was a kid, and it went sideways. I won't talk about how it went sideways, but like everything in there was meant to be like not dangerous, and when they came back in, everything was a murder machine.
I've just thought of this, like, we don't know that they were scaly and brown and green to blend in. We have no idea. What if they're like these neon
peacocks?
Green, yeah, like feathery, weird-looking bird reptile things, crossbreeds going on? I don't know. I've never seen a dinosaur.
Nature did just wipe them off the map. Maybe they went, and we got it wrong the first time.
Yeah, like, reset.
A little reset button here. Well,
send on a big old meteor.
I mean, we know what the woolly mammoth looks like because we have one. Like, frozen, solid.
Yep, that's true.
That's
and he's furry.
Yeah.
They would have just gone, no, that's just an elephant.
No, we got one. No, we know what this thing
is. See, this is what I'm talking about.
That, to me, is still so crazy that they found that thing. What was it, like 10,000 years old or 20,000 years old, and it's still like it was frozen so solid that the meat is literally on the bone. The fur is still there.
Yeah.
Tells you freezer burn is real.
Freezer burn is real.
It's real.
Man, it'll get you.
All right, we'll get back on the clock here. Coming up in hour number three, we will.
It's talking dinosaurs.
There you go. Hey, look, we'll work that into a weekly segment.
Come for the sports, stay for the dinos.
Look, we'll go down some lanes.
No, and look. Pigeon meat.
Yeah, pigeon
I have
meat.
These intrusive thoughts that pop out.
Let them win, man. That's how I got here. Coming up next, though, we do have the
this text. This was a great show to get stoned to at lunch. Now I'll be recreating dinosaurs in my brain the rest of the day.
See? 100%.
Congrats, man.
Yeah. We will revisit the Luka Doncic return to Dallas and everything that kind of came out of that game.
You just got
to
keep living, man. LIVIN.
But we have the first triage of what the hell happened in Denver as it pertains to the firing of both Michael Malone and Calvin Booth, and where the Nuggets go from here. And I think this is the first Band-Aid that's coming off in this whole process. We'll get to that and more here now, number three on Danny and Dusty, Tenet the Fan.
Danny, I hope it never comes back.